And thanks for joining us now on KVCR for KVC Arts, arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it.
Like a ship with no sail, rebelling and left all her men behind. We were wild, unafraid, candid, and we couldn't hide it.
I'm David Fleming, and just a bit of Eva and the Vagabond Tales in the background. It's a bit of a reminder. Many people have heard Eva on this program in the past. We're going to be talking about postmodern jukebox, though, coming up. And so, without further ado, it's just really with such great pleasure that I welcome back Eva Mikhailovna. Eva, I can't truly express the pleasure it is to have you in here again.
I'm so happy to be here. I've missed it. I'm so happy to be here again.
And now, is it public or not? Are you actually Styles now? Is it Eva Styles?
I am. I officially am Eva Styles, but my stage name stays the same.
Good. Okay. You didn't go up to the easier one. We'll leave that one. So here's a sideways segue. We were having some Eva and the Vagabond Tales playing in the background, but as a segue toward what we're going to be speaking about, here's the Styles thing. I did that on purpose. You did a Harry Styles tune, Late Night Talking. So this is to get a feel of postmodern jukebox, let's say, a sense of it anyway, and just to feature some of your singing, which I really miss having on KVC Arts.
Things haven't been quite the same. There's a haze on the horizon, babe. It's only been a couple of days and I miss you. When nothing really goes to plan, you stub your toe or break your camera. I'll do anything I can to help you through.
Late Night Talking, a Harry Styles tune. This is Eva Mikhailovna leading on Postmodern Jukebox. So we'll get to your involvement with Postmodern Jukebox in just a bit. But first, please, if you would just talk about what it even is, Postmodern Jukebox. It would be great to have Scott Bradley telling this story, but Eva's really always a superb spokesperson for anything that she's speaking about. So PMJ, let's say, from here on out.
Thank you. Postmodern jukebox, it's a vintage musical universe where the familiar hit songs of today meet the classic styles of yesteryear. So think 1920s jazz, swing, big band, Motown, and more. And all these songs that we hear on the radio today, they're transformed to sound like they're coming from a 1920s Gatsby era or a 1960s or anything you can think of.
Nice. And we're talking about, pop tunes, but it's given a treatment of something. You mentioned Motown, but often it is that early jazz feel.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be touring with Postmodern Jukebox with a stop in Riverside quite soon. And it's really cool to be doing a tour of any kind and have a stop in your hometown.
Yes.
So you've actually toured with them in the recent past. How did that even happen, your association with Postmodern Jukebox? Was it an audition that you heard of? Was it word of mouth or maybe Haley or Casey, maybe?
It was from Casey Abrams. He told Scott Bradley about me, and there was a tour coming up. It was October 2022, and Scott Bradley reached out through email, and I lost my mind. I was so excited because I've loved this band. I think since I was 18 or 19, I've loved this band. I love what Scott did. I love that he has like a very old soul. He really appreciates older music like I do. And I love the idea that you can take any song that has a great melody, a catchy feel, and transform it and take it back in time. So when he reached out, I instantly, of course, I said yes to the tour, and I got to film a video with them, and I started touring.
I can't get
Do you recall some of the tunes? It was like, oh, wait a minute. I was just hearing that on the radio in this form, but now this is cool. Do you remember some of those tunes that got that major transformation?
Yes. The first one I heard was All About That Bass.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
And I know that there's a very popular postmodern jukebox version of that song with Casey Abrams and Haley Reinhart. However, the first one I heard was with this bass player, a female singer bass player, and she just was phenomenal. And it was just recorded in like a living room. Mm. And it was beautiful. And she was such a great singer and bass player. And ever since that day, I started following the band and seeing all the different interesting things they did to popular songs.
And I swear by the moon and the stars in the sky. I see the questions in your eyes. I know what's weighing on your mind. But you can be sure I know my part. Cause I'll stand beside you through the years.
It would have been really cool if Scott had just been adding Eva in the Vagabond to, you know, Mission Tobacco Lounge and said, I need her on the tour. Okay.
That would have been nice.
But gosh, a thing through Casey. That's yes. The highest recommendation right there. Casey's wonderful. Now, at the website for Postmodern Jukebox, there's a video of doing I Swear, though it's in the style of a Western swing. And this features Demi Remick, a tap dancer. You'll see her on various videos. But now the thing about this is Coley Stiles is also in this video playing a steel guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something I didn't know about. Was Coley in Postmodern Jukebox at one point as well? Or is this even one of their songs, but they're just sharing it for you? It's one of your things? What is this?
So I Swear is an arrangement by Scott Bradley. He wanted to do a Western swing version of a popular 90s hit by the band All for One, which was actually originally a country song, but Scott wanted to do a Western swing version of it. And I was going to be out in the rehearsals in Nashville for the tour, and we decided to do the song together. And meanwhile, Coley Stiles, my husband, and I, we were planning to go on vacation for a little bit, and I agreed to go on this tour. And so Coley decided, well, let me just go to Nashville with you, and because he has his own little side quest. He loves pedal steel and lap steel. And so he wanted to meet some of the greats while he was out there. And he got a chance to do that. But since he was out there, I told Scott, well, hey, if you need a lap steel player for this Western swing, I mean, it's the perfect instrument for Western swing. So
yeah.
He got to do the song. He learned it within a couple days and just played along.
Oh, that is too cool. I was really confused about, okay, there I am at Postmodern Jukebox website. And then I'm watching this because I'm looking for tunes with you as a part of it so that we can talk about it for the show. But then I see Coley. It's like, wait a minute, is this a part of the history I didn't know? Thank you for sorting that out.
Yeah.
One of the cool things on I Swear, by the way, is that you get some of Eva yodeling. And we've gotten some yodeling from Eva in the past, including, say, on Demure. That's one of the ones on Uncharted Ocean, but also on this one as well. And I just like where this comes from because of how you even learned or why you even learned to yodel. It has to do with Nickel Creek and Yosemite, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I was stargazing and... Well, one of our campsite neighbors gave us a CD, and it was a Nickel Creek live album. And we played it, and there was a song called I Want to Be a Cowboy's Sweetheart. And I loved the yodeling, and I tried to mimic it. And I got kind of good at that song. And then I started trying to insert it into certain songs that I thought it would sound good in my original music. And I realized I never heard yodeling in a minor key before. It's always over a major key. So I challenged myself to write a yodel over a minor key, and that was the first time you hear it in the song Mirage on my very first album.
Wow.
Yeah, and I kind of stopped yodeling over the years because I didn't really have a reason to. I mean, when does anyone have a reason to yodel?
All the reasons just went away.
But then I met my husband, and he plays all the steel guitars, and he's so into Western swing, and so we started playing country music together, and I realized, oh, wait, I remembered I can yodel, and so I started yodeling, and now I do it all the time.
Okay, now this is maybe a behind-the-scenes look at something which folks know about, but don't necessarily know about. And this will tie back. Every year when I speak with Al Petrelli about Trans-Siberian Orchestra, I always want to know about whatever new arrangements or this or that or the other that, you know, because they try to get bigger every year or at least try to do something that they didn't do the year before. And I quickly learned that even Petrelli, as musical director and one of the lead guitarists, even he doesn't know about new stuff until Trans-Siberian Orchestra East and West, they descend on Omaha, Nebraska for 2 weeks or so for a period of discovery and intense rehearsals, and then they hit the road, and then that's what we see. So you are about to hit the road again with Postmodern Jukebox, and again, a stop in Riverside August 30th. That's at the Fox Performing Arts Center?
Yes.
Okay. What is the next step for you then? Does everybody meet in Omaha to get the new arrangements, working out the choreography? I know when you go on the road, but what happens before then?
Every tour begins with a rehearsal week. And it's very tricky with this band because there are so many people who come in and out, so many singers, so many changes that happen during the tour. The tour could be 2 months long, but somebody might be there for only 2 weeks of it or one month of it. So they keep going. The bus, once it starts moving, it keeps going. So even if somebody leaves the tour, somebody else will come in, and the band just deals with the changes the day of. That's how great the musicians are. And they adapt, and the tour is constantly changing. The show is always so energetic and so charming and just full of vintage atmosphere, but there's constantly little changes that happen throughout the tour, depending on who's coming and going. So the tour that I'm joining, I was actually on it at the beginning of the tour, okay. And I left for a month, and now I'm rejoining. But as I rejoin, there's already a new number of people that are there, so it's going to be interesting.
I'm David Fleming in conversation with Eva Mikhailovna. No stranger to the show, though it's been a few years. She'll be joining us again in just a couple of weeks for very special KVC Arts. On this edition of the program, we're hearing mainly about Postmodern Jukebox as she's touring with them once again with several stops in our region quite soon, including Riverside August 30th.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble.
Eva, with you being on the tour for some parts and not others, was it designed to have you in for this one for sure? That is, Scott knows you're a Riverside legend and therefore hoping to get you on board for this at the very least. How does that work as far as you're on for this part, not that part, this part again?
I believe this time I asked to be on the Riverside show because I wanted to come back to Riverside because I love it so much. But most tours, I get asked to do the whole tour, and obviously I can't because I have gigs at home and obligations, like shows booked way in advance that I have to do at home that I can't say no to. So I think that's how they schedule it. They go based off of our schedules. I mean, they probably want somebody who can do the whole tour. That would be the best thing. But it just doesn't work out that way because there's so many people in the band and so many singers. But it's way more fun that way because when you go to a Postmodern Jukebox show, you never know what you're going to get. Every audience that I've seen, I usually like going out and talking to the audience. And every audience that I've seen, they all say, every time is better than the last time. Like every show is so different and it just keeps getting better and better. And it really does feel that way as a performer with the group. Every show feels different and you can learn something from it and just grow. It's amazing.
Is it the kind of thing where some of it has to be, you know, to the notes? Not necessarily written out, but, well, maybe. How much room is there for improvisation versus, okay, this has to be the same every time? You know, and as a vocalist, you still can bend the notes different ways just as much as the guitarist or the piano with an extra trill or whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm. This is one thing I really love about this band is that there is room for improvisation and a lot of it for these songs that we play every single night. Like the singers, we challenge each other to sing our parts slightly differently or try something new every single night. And it's so fun because I feel so restricted in some of my songs, and I'm thinking, like, there's no way I can change it. I mean, I've tried every single thing already. I've tried every change that I could possibly make. And just last night, I was rehearsing again in my room for the show that I'm going to join, and I realized, oh, I haven't tried this yet. So there's always a million different ways you could sing a melody. And the thing is, we notice each other's changes because we hear it every night. But it's just a fun thing that we like to do, and it's so fun, and you grow so much as a performer from it.
Oh, how cool. That's just totally cool. Can you think of any examples right now of, like, maybe a tune that, and this can go back to the beginning of this tour or the last time you were on a few years back, just a song where they said, okay, try this part is falsetto or this part is spoken, a raspy thing.
There is a song that I do by the Pixies called Where Is My Mind?
Okay.
And it's a really beautiful song. It's very flowy. And I love, when I'm singing, I love going up to the high notes. That's my favorite thing. I feel like that's my, like, signature thing that I feel comfortable with. And I feel like, oh, it's something impressive that I can do. And I'm not very confident about my lower voice, like my lower register. And so the singers in the band said to try going to the lower notes. And so I tried it the first night. I was like, oh, I don't know. I still don't feel good about this. But then the band said, oh, I like it better when you do it the lower. And so I started, like, playing with it more. And I realized, oh, I have a voice down there, too. It's there. And now I get to explore that part every night.
Oh, that's totally cool. So you're not only presented with something new and given a chance to explore it and really develop something more.
Yeah.
Wow. During this rehearsal period, does the elusive Scott Bradley make an appearance here, or is he just sending out arrangers and choreographers at this point? And he's the founder of the feast, but is he there, or does he hire professionals and they take it?
He is definitely there. He's very involved. He has so many great ideas, and even songs that are played a lot for every tour, he still comes in and changes them up a little bit, depending on the singer. And he helps us with maybe, like, changing the key of the song or singing it slightly differently just to match the mood of whatever the vibe of the singer is. And it's really interesting. Like, one thing that happened during this rehearsal for one of my songs is there was a whistling part. And I'm not a whistler, so I was thinking, well, what could we do for this part? And the bass player, his name is Adam Kubota, he suggested, as a joke, maybe you could play the saw. The musical saw. And I said, I've tried playing the musical saw before, and Scott Bradley overheard it. And he was like, let's get a saw. So we got a saw, and by the next rehearsal date, which was the next day, I had to learn how to play the saw.
Oh my gosh.
And the thing I love about Scott Bradley at our rehearsals is that even if something doesn't sound good at first, for me, coming from me, because I feel like I'm constantly at my limit, like, experimenting in that band, because everyone is just so great, and I feel kind of like, what am I doing here? But I love that he gives us so much room, even if we feel like, I'm not ready for the show yet. He's kind of like, you'll get it. Once the show starts, you'll get it. And it's true. Like, everything gets worked out somehow magically by the first show. Okay. I don't know how it works, but he really believes in all of us and really puts together a really great team of people.
He's not only showing confidence in the people that he's brought on board, but he's also recognizing that, I mean, this is live theater, man. I mean, things are going to change. There's going to be, this is going to be a little bit different. And so that's not so much what matters, the fact that it's different, but how do you come back from it?
Yeah.
But we're not talking about mistakes. We're just talking about variations in the song. Wow. So somebody ran out to Home Depot.
Yeah.
And realized. How long was it before you realized, I better file down the sharp edges of the saw? Did you?
Well, somebody did go out to Home Depot. They got a saw. I started playing it, but my husband had not arrived in Nashville yet. And I told him, I was like, they're making me play a saw. I don't know what to do. And he's very crafty. He works with wood and he's great. And he ended up surprising me with my own saw with my name carved in it. And the sharp edges came out. So I ended up using the saw that he made.
Coley.
Yeah.
I'm keeping that on the air, by the way. Coley, that is so sweet. That's totally cool. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So are you able to spill the beans on what tunes you're going to be performing on this tour? Or some of it's already been done. So share with us what's happening this time around.
Yeah, I get to sing Paul Simon's 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
Oh, no way.
Yeah,
oh, excellent.
And it's a really cool 1920s arrangement with Demi Remick. She's going to be dancing. We're both going to be dancing.
And
it's really cute. And then I'm also doing Where Is My Mind by the Pixies. and that's where I play the musical saw.
Oh.
It's always such a scary moment for me because it's an instrument I just picked up a month ago. I don't So it's fun. I'm also doing some girl group numbers, a song called Burn. It's like a 60s style song. And then we also do the Spice Girls Wannabe as like Andrew Sisters.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. Good.
And a whole bunch of other songs too. But I think you'd have to come to the show to find out.
Fantastic. Again, this is going to be at the Fox Performing Arts Center in Riverside, August 30th. So that's the stop in Riverside. But really, the tour goes on. So if you would, Eva, a reminder of where people can find out more, at least about Postmodern Jukebox, as well as with you.
Postmodern Jukebox, they tour everywhere, all over the world. It's best to follow their social media, Instagram, Facebook, and check their website too. They have a really cool feature on their website where you can type in your city and then you get an alert if we're coming anywhere near your city.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's like a little spotlight beacon. It's really cool. So yeah, but we're going everywhere in August, September. We have some shows also in San Diego, Thousand Oaks, and Costa Mesa.
One more as we close, Eva. I want to look at A World Without Love. Now, this one is just, again, it's just so suited to you, although really anything that I heard you sing seemed like something that was for you. But this, of course, this really makes me want to explore arrangements a bit more once again. So what's written out versus what's put down on basic charts, and then it's improv from there. So I'm wanting to hear, I guess, specifically about this tune. But if you think of others, that's cool too. I suppose times when you've been assigned a tune, but then you remind them of your finger-picking prowess and can just pick up this or that or the other and accompany in something that they didn't even think of.
A World Without Love, that one we recorded actually last minute. We were supposed to record Late Night Talking that day, and we did. And we had some time, so we decided to also do A World Without Love. And Scar Bradley knew that I really love old music, 60s, and I happen to know that song too. So we did that song, and he put together a chart for it, I think a couple days beforehand, and he sent it to me. I was supposed to play the ukulele on it, but I kind of wanted to just sing for that one.
Okay.
And the musicians at the session that day were so talented, they just picked up the song, and they worked that song out just right then and there.
Oh, wow. And I'm trying to think, did you end up doing some ukulele fingerstyle kind of while you were singing, or am I thinking of a different one than that one?
For A World Without Love, I only sang.
Okay.
And then for Late Night Talking, that's when I did the ukulele and a guitar.
That's it. Okay, that's it. That's just one of the wonderful things about, well, one, going to a Postmodern Jukebox show, but also going to see Eva Mikhailovna in any form that she's performing in. You know, it could be the ukulele, it could be the guitar. If there's a piano in the corner, she's got some tunes written around the piano as well. But this show was mostly about Postmodern Jukebox, again, in Riverside at the Fox Performing Arts Center on August 30th, but also elsewhere in this region. And just go to the Postmodern Jukebox website for the specifics on that one. Okay, so as we close, talk about what going to a Postmodern Jukebox show is like. What is this experience?
It's like stepping back in time with a cast of the world's most amazing live singers, instrumentalists, and even tap dancers. The whole show brings this vintage musical universe to life. And going to one of those shows, it feels like stepping back in time because a lot of people in the audience are dressed up. They're dressed up like 1920s, 30s, 40s. And it's very glamorous, and it feels like a party with the Rat Pack and Ella Fitzgerald.
Wow, nice. Eva, again, thank you so much. This was just incredible. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been Conversation with Eva Mikhailovna for this edition of KVC Arts. The music featured her singing, though with Postmodern Jukebox. This is the second time now Eva's toured with them, though this time with several stops in our region quite soon, including Riverside, August 30th. More at postmodernjukebox.com. More with Eva at evaandthevagabondtales.com. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again so much to Eva Mikhailovna. Here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Adam Ruiz Rainey, Joel Morales, Champ Chipman, and Shireen Awad. Many past shows can be found through iTunes, Spotify, NPR One, or many other podcast sites. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts. Behind us now, for example, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. Please help to make up the over $500,000 taken away from us. Without it, KVCR may be facing significant changes to its sound, including here on KVC Arts. Please give any time, day or night, at kvcrnews.org/support. Or you can call 877-512-8843. And again, truly, thank you so much.